Good morning, y'all. Good morning, you all. Come on. Look, this gorgeous weather. I mean, isn't this amazing? I mean, this right here is football weather. Too bad Tennessee Vols haven't gotten that message, but this is football weather right here. Anyway, it's good to be here. It truly is. It's not only just a beautiful morning weather-wise. I mean, the temps are cool, but the sun is out. Man, this is perfect. So that's something to celebrate. I was reminded last week when we had to move inside, when Ken and Jordan and I had to move in there, I had to preach into a camera, and that feels like work. I mean, I love to preach. I love God. I love His Word, but it just feels like work. This doesn't. I love being able to look into my family's faces and celebrate and worship together and be out here in God's beautiful creation. One of the things that we realized on the retreat, or I realized, and I had heard other men reflect, and we're going to be sharing more about the retreat, especially these four men over here. This is not, they're not on trial or anything, which is good because it would be horrible if Judge Miller was on trial today. Not doing a trial, but on trial. One of the things we realized, several of you all have reflected how much you really enjoy this time outside, how you're going to miss this time outdoors when we do move in a building. Something I really miss after being on the retreat, other than, you know, all the men I was there with, was we were indoors singing, and once again, we could hear one another. We could hear one another's voices. And that's a real gift, actually. Even if you don't sound that great, it's still a gift. Because when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine. Do not live a wasted life. That is debauchery. That's what debauchery means. I don't use that word very often. But it's wasting away of life. Singing to one another. Isn't that interesting? When we're filled with the Spirit, we sing to one another. Not worship one another, but we sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's actually something about the singing of the congregation and the family of God when we hear one another singing. Don't worry about that. That's from last week. When we hear one another singing the praises of God, that's actually a Spirit-given gift. And I realized it this morning again is how much I miss hearing our voices together. And I think that can get lost out here in the parking lot. There are lots of things that get gained, but something that gets lost is hearing the others around you singing. And one day, I may say a little bit more about that later, so hold on, but one day we'll be back indoors, for good or for ill. But I look forward to hearing us sing. There was just a power in hearing men stand in a room and sing praises to God together. And then today I was like, I can't hear anybody. But I hope you were singing. I'm going to invite Elizabeth to come up and give a brief announcement about women's ministry activities. Yeah, come on.
Good morning. Good to see everybody. And yes, we're very thankful for a very beautiful, beautiful day. Women, I have spent a lot of time taking what we did at our last Connect on a beautiful Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon like this. So next Sunday, October 25th, from 3 to 4, I'd like for as many of you who can to come. We'll come here. If it's nice, we'll sit outside. If it's not, we can go in. We're also going to put this on Zoom, so some of you who are still are not comfortable to come out, we'll have a Zoom meeting set up. And we'd like to talk about the things that we did at the last Connect and start laying the groundwork for what our journey's going to look like for the next year. Have a lot of ideas, and I know you have a lot of ideas because you shared those when we were together several weeks back. So again, mark your calendars, October 25th, next Sunday from 3 to 4. It'll be a short meeting. We'll do it on Zoom, and we'll be here in present, so that we can go through that and start planning our journey for next year. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Elizabeth. All right. As I mentioned, and as you all probably hopefully knew that we were going to be doing the last few days and invited you to pray for us, is we had 25 men total go away to Valley Crucis, North Carolina, at the Valley Crucis Retreat Center, which, by the way, means Valley of the Cross. gorgeous. I'd never been there before. Beautiful little community. Valle Cruces is a little community right next to Banner Elk. And man, it was an amazing time. And God did a great work in drawing us closer to Him, in drawing men in their lives closer to one another. We had men on this retreat from age 15 to late 70s. And it was really just cool to see the generations of men fellowshipping together, laughing together, encouraging one another, eating together, worshiping together, and doing some deep work together, having some really deep, tough at times, but very authentic and open conversations about what does it mean to truly live courageously. And one thing I want to say before I start letting these men share is that there are men here right now who either, you know, couldn't or didn't go on the retreat. And I want to say these retreats, if you're not on them with us, it's we're not forming a men's club and you're out. All right, some of you have been on retreats in the past. You couldn't go on this one. Life maybe prevented you from doing it. And I want you to understand, when you hear what's being shared today, this is not just about the men who got away. This is about the life of our church and the culture of manhood that we're wanting to create as godly men here at Restoration. And whether you were on the retreat with us physically or you weren't able to go this time, whether you're here physically or with us on Facebook Live, you're not out. There's more. There's going to be more, and it's going to be ongoing. And I would also just encourage you, if you didn't go, get together with some of these men who went and just let them share with you what went on personally, and let that overflow sort of spill over onto you and continue to be on the journey with us. So we had, like I said, we have 25 men, and we have four here are going to share, and we got a range of generations. You can't see it on the camera right now, but trust me, Facebook Live, there are four men over to my left here. I'm going to sort of bookend it today with, I would say, those who are more generationally or maybe blessed in their years. So I'm going to invite Dempsey Essick, my brother, to come up and share first and to share about his takeaways.
Gary. And it's a blessing to be up here this morning. A lot of you guys may not know me. We're relatively new here at the church. We've been visiting outside with you all summer, and I've been immensely, greatly blessed. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity this past weekend to gather with you guys. I needed that. Not only spiritually, but I needed personally to get to know you, because we've been meeting out here. I really ain't got to know you really well, and I got to do that this weekend. I'm very thankful for that. But let me give you just a testimony of how God worked in my life this weekend. I'm going to start with a statement, and I could say this and finish and walk away, and it will say everything pretty much. Real men step up with courage and fulfill their responsibilities regardless of how much it costs them. But I'll go on to say, God gave man responsibility in three areas. One, a will to obey him. We're responsible for that. A woman to love, and a work to do. Adam was given a will to obey God, or not, but he was given a will to obey God. Secondly, Adam was given a wife to love. And thirdly, Adam was given a work to do. Likewise, me as a Christian man have been given responsibility in these three areas also. And that's kind of what came to the forefront. What God brought to my heart this weekend is my responsibility in these three areas. I really didn't know why I was going this weekend, but God did. And I'm so thankful. Number one, I am responsible to obey God. In 1973, God called me to himself and gave me a will to obey him. In a simple faith, I committed my life to Christ and asked him to save me. And praise his name, he did. for these many years since I've been following Christ, there have been mountains, there's been valleys, and there's been deserts that were bone dry. And overflowing springs. So what about today? Can I be passive and take it easy just because I've been following Christ for all these years? The answer to that is no. God still has me here for His purposes and His will, and take the courage to be the man that He wants me to be. Got my notes out of order. I'm not like Gary. He keeps his in order. Number two. Number two, I'm responsible. Now, I think out of the whole thing this weekend that God really touched me is, I'm responsible to love my wife. And there's, and as we found this weekend, there's a lot of ways we say we love our wives, but most of them aren't biblical. I've been married to Shelley, my beautiful wife, for 40-some years. If I would say the exact years, I'd be in trouble. It's just been 40-some. We've had a good marriage. With mountains, with valleys, and with deserts. And overflowing springs of passion and love. So now I can say, so how can I say, just be passive and not give her your attention, support, encouragement, love, because she knows it? Is that okay? The answer to that is no. I still have to give her my all and love her and be the man that God wants me to be in her life. And the third thing is this. I am responsible for the work God has me to do. This work includes raising children, grandchildren, loving others, teaching Sunday school, Bible studies, mentoring men, providing for my family's needs, etc. Sometimes I've done these things well as a Christian, but many times I have done these things poorly. So how can I say this and be passive and lighten up on my workload now just because I'm at the age I am and I've been doing it this long? The answer is no. Paul said, I have fought a good fight and I have kept the course and I've finished the work. Well, I want to be like that. I want to be a man who stays the course and finishes the work that God has called me to do. During the men's retreat, the Lord hit my reset button, so to speak, and He showed me that I have been being passive in many areas of my life, and that I'm not been pursuing the things that He has given me responsibility for as I should, with the same passion and love as I have in the past. You know, I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us where we are, but He is faithful to rebuke us and bring us to repentance and bring us to faith in our Lord over and over and over again. So pray for me that I will step up with courage and fulfill my responsibilities regardless of what it costs me. That's a real prayer. I'm just not saying that. I want you to pray that I would do that by faith. Now here's the crux of the thing with me is, I know I cannot, nor will I not do it apart from the power of Christ at work in me. I cannot do it on my own. I can only do it through Him. And that became a reality this weekend. He said, Dempsey, you know, quit your self-effort. It's me in you, not you. Pray that I will die daily to myself and live a life of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me, so that I will be a man who steps up every day, does what is right by obeying God, loving my wife, and doing the work that God has called me to do. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Aiden McGee, come on up.
Yeah. Hello. So I'm terrified of doing this, but like, considering we were just talking about courage, I'm going to do it anyway. So I think Dad was saying it. I was the youngest person on the retreat. I was 15, and I believe it was like high 70s to 15. Like, that was the age range, and I was the youngest person on the retreat. So I walked into the retreat thinking that at some point in my 20s, I would be a man. And, like, that, like, at that age, I would be a man no matter what I've learned. I was at that age, I was a man, but the biggest thing I learned is that regardless of age, there's never really an age where you can't learn what it really means to be a man. Just last night we were watching the movie Onward, and the main character, well, basically it's about these two brothers, and they didn't grow up with a father figure. So they spend the entire movie going on this quest to find a crystal that will bring their father back to life for 24 hours. So the main character, Ian, he's just over the age of 16, and he didn't grow up with his father, but throughout the movie, because of his older brother, he learns to make sacrifices for people he loves, and he learns to look out for people and be courageous, especially be courageous throughout the movie. And even though he is only barely 17, I consider him a man. Like, a teenager, I consider him a man. So I definitely learned that even though I'm 15, I can certainly take what I've learned over this retreat and become a man, even though I'm very young. So that's it.
Good job, buddy. All right, Drew, come on up, bro. This is Drew I've been saying it right for 5 years. This is Drew Slaybaugh.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
So, you know, Gary asked me to speak about kind of what the men's retreat means to me. And I had thought back of a conversation we were having, and I know Jordan and I were talking about this a little bit, and he says, you know, I bet the women probably think we come up here in the mountains, sit around a campfire and tell fart jokes. And while he's not entirely inaccurate, it is way more than that. I mean, we have a good time, but it's a place where you can be real and honest. And part of my story, just growing up, I grew up in the church. I went to church pretty much every Sunday, but it always felt kind of lonely. And I think part of it was because I never felt comfortable being honest. And it wasn't really until our retreats, the men's program, where, you know, you see that honesty from other people, and you see their struggles and what they're going through, and you feel comfortable sharing that. And when you share it, you realize they love you back. They're there to support you, to help you through those struggles. And so it has really been something that helped church go from a very lonely place to, at the risk of sounding like I'm speaking Christianese, like a real brotherhood and family when I come here and see everyone, you know, every week. And these retreats just keep deepening those relationships. So if you ever feel lonely, go to a retreat. It sounds weird, but it totally changes the way that you might see church. So thank you all for that. All the men who have been there in the past, the other retreats, and the ones on this one. I appreciate it. Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Gordon Miller, come on up.
Oh, boy. Okay. Good morning, you knuckleheads. I learned 105 things about our men on this retreat. 100 of them I can't tell you about. 98 of those concern Andrew, and it would be very embarrassing. But I can share with you 5 things that I learned. that I think are in many ways incredibly important. And it takes something like a retreat of this type to learn. The first one, Henry, where are you, Henry? Henry and I are alike, at least very much alike in one thing. Neither of us like to get up early. Two, the men in the church, as Gary pointed out, they can sing. Men don't listen to this part, but women, wives, they just won't sing in front of you. They will sing when they're singing next to someone who sings just as badly as they do. It somehow encourages them. Three, Arctic Monkeys and Aidan McGee are cool as can be. I learned that. I would have never learned that except on this retreat. And now, two things that if you think about these and give it some serious thought, you'll be on the next retreat. Men need men to grow in their faith. They need a team sport. And the retreats allow men to experience that, a sense of team in the most important way. And last but not least, especially for me, my wife is more beautiful today than she was the day before I went on this retreat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, man. You guys can stay there or go back to your normal seats. So before I... Testing. All right. Whew. I'm sleep deprived enough that I keep turning it off, thinking I'm turning it on and turning, you know. Anyway. All right. Before I get into some of my own reflections and the message today, I want to say thanks again to several folks. One, our men's ministry leadership team here at Restoration, Scott Barton, Paul Schoaf, Ken Trivett, did an amazing job coordinating this retreat. Fantastic job. I mean, you don't need to talk to my wife about this, but I'm not the one that's necessarily biggest on coordination, organization in the home, and hospitality necessarily. I like to hang out with folks, but I'm not necessarily great at laying the groundwork necessarily for the little things that make people feel welcome. Man, that was fantastic. The location, the layout, the scheduling, the snacks, the constant supply of coffee, Scott Barton, literally always a fire in the fireplace. Amazing job, guys. That was a true gift. You made it so well organized and so well coordinated that it made it easy to forget. It's like all this stuff laid out, and it's when you have everything right in front of you, it's easy to forget that all this stuff had to happen for you. And it was just that much ease and that much grace and that much hospitality that was given. And Scott, man, I thank you so much for getting up every morning, having the coffee ready and hot, keeping the fire alive. Literally, we prayed and sang for a fire down in our soul. Scott kept a fire in the fireplace there in that big inn. It was awesome. Also want to say a big thanks again to our oversight team of Gordon Miller, Ken Trivett, Andrew Morton, no matter what Gordon says about Andrew, and Jordan Leonard. These four men, each one of them led a session on our topic was stepping up, on living courageously as men. And each one of those four men took a session, and it was powerful and amazing to see the four vastly different personalities and leadership styles that really make the body of Christ cool to be in. That there's not there's no cookie cutter in the body of Christ. And also, we wanted to do that because we also wanted men to experience, you know, I get to talk a lot, I get to interact with you a lot, but we also wanted men to get to experience the hearts of these men, the differences, the strengths and the weaknesses they each bring, and who they are as men, and to share some of their hearts and what they're really passionate about, and that was awesome. Last, but definitely not least, I want to thank Lori Trivett. Men, all those materials, the books, the flyers, the itinerary, all that stuff, the detailed sheet, while, you know, our men's ministry team worked on the schedule and who was going to room with who, she put all that together for us. And I really appreciate that, Lori. Thank you. And I would say it's very easy for those of you with the gift of administration to minimize that gift and to think it's not a blessing, but we would be lost without you. It's not just a gift. It's a spiritual gift labeled in the Bible, and yours blessed us this weekend. It's been a blessing prior to that, but, man, I really experienced the blessing of that organization on this weekend. Thank you. Sort of step back just into the role of a father right now, and Patrick and Aiden were both planning on going on the retreat, and Patrick wasn't feeling well and then got an avalanche of school projects laid on him, and just he wasn't able to go. I missed him the entire time, missed his presence. But as a father, I've said before as your pastor that I want to plant and I want to pastor the type of church that I need and I want to belong to. And I got another glimpse of that. We have a community, and specifically on this retreat, a community of men that I thank God for in my family's life as a man. To see the way that you men loved on my son, the way that you men blessed him, which is huge for men. It's one of the questions we asked at the first of the retreat is, or we were asked in the study is, when does a boy become a man? And the truth is, in our culture, we really don't know. We don't have a firm answer. We have to sort of guess. Is it around driving? Is it around sexual exploits? Is it around when you live on your own? So then what happens when you come back home? Do you lose your manhood? I don't know. But when does a boy become a man? And one of my firm beliefs is a boy becomes a man historically and biblically when a community of men say, I see that you're a man. Throughout the history of the world, we've lost that in our culture, but throughout the history of the world, both in Christian traditions, Jewish traditions, as well as even some pagan traditions, there's an initiation where the community, not just the dad or the mom or the home, but a community gathers around boys that are becoming men and says, I see you as a man, and I'm going to expect you to live as a man, and I'm going to call you to responsibility as a man. You're a man. That's true. That a boy becomes a man when the community of men in his life affirm that manhood and say, now we're calling you into manhood and we're expecting you to be a man. And we are awash in the loss of that in our culture. Can I get an amen? John Eldridge, who wrote Wild at Heart and several other fantastic books, he said, we have a culture of unfinished men. Most men live their lives like they've shown up to a movie 20 minutes late. They know something's going on. They're just not sure what it is. And I've experienced that in my life. I'm not standing up here preaching down from the manhood mountaintop. No, I've experienced that in my own life. We've missed out on the blessing. We've missed out on the responsibility of men, fathers, to bless men. Or mentors to step into a young man's life. Bless them. Call out. We're in a negative culture, guys. we're in the midst of, and we can get caught up in the body of Christ right now in this negative culture of mocking, demeaning, pushing down, constantly criticizing the younger generations, whereas men of God need to stand up and call out the strength of the younger generations. Can I get an amen? I don't usually ask for them, but these are some things that I know enough of our community, I know of enough of our church, and your all's concerns for our world and our culture. And I'm not saying that the answer is strong, clear, courageous manhood, but it's one of the answers. The answer is God. The answer is His Son, Jesus Christ. But underneath that, it's a renewed call to truly courageous, tender-hearted, loving, servant-oriented, clear manhood. And I know with what I'm going into, because I know the day and age in which I live, and I know that the church is not immune to the culture that we swim in this world. I know that some of y'all are already thinking, why is he talking so much about men? What about us women? And we've been fed some things that just, if we're really going to live by the book, if we're going to be men and women and boys and girls who believe in sola scriptura, that scripture alone is our authority for what we believe and how we live, then we have to constantly allow the Word of God to shape our thoughts, to shape our ideologies, to shape our affections, to shape our viewpoints, to shape our worldviews, and understand that we are equal. Men and women are equally created in value, in worth before God. From the very beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. And then he created man in his image. Male and female, he created in his image. Men and women are both equally image bearers. But it doesn't take long, also, even in Genesis and throughout the rest of the Bible, to understand that while we are equal in value and worth and as image bearers, that we are different. Does anybody here believe that? You're different. We're different. Anybody? Amen? Yes? Anybody? I got one. All right. We're different. But we are in a day and age where you can actually get canceled by saying we're different. It takes courage in our culture to walk out into the public square and say, men and women are different. There's being pressure applied to say, no, because equality means sameness. And I'm just going to say this. I'm going to state this boldly because I believe it. That does not lead to blessing. That trying to diminish the differences and the differences of roles in the culture, in the church, and in the house does not bring blessing. It actually robs us, and it will bring a curse. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. It glorifies God immensely for a woman to be a woman. One amen. Thank you, brother. Come on. Men, it glorifies God immensely for a woman to be a woman. All right, thank you. Still sort of. It glorifies God immensely for a woman to be a woman. All right, woo! All right, get some coffee, fellas. It does not glorify God for a man to be a woman. Thank you. Still half-hearted. God created a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And that's just biblical. And so what I'm getting ready to say today, literally, not figuratively, pastor speech in the next few minutes, is not to the diminishment of women. It's to the calling up of men, and it's when men live wholeheartedly, courageously, devoted to God, living as Stu Weber said in his very good book, that's a hint to read it, men and or women, Wives, get it and read it to your husbands. However it works, just do it. But his book is called Tender Warrior. That's what we're called to be. Men are called to be courageous and strong, but we also need to know why God gave us strength and why he gives us that strength, how we're to steward it. We need to know when that strength calls for boldness and courage and standing our ground, and then we need to know when that strength is given to us so that we can be the landing place and we can be the soft space and we can be the place of comfort and tenderness. And I was getting into the blessing with that as a father, and you men blessed me as a father by blessing my son. I see a renewed vigor in him. I see a renewed confidence. He came downstairs after we got home. Can I share some of your story? Okay. He came downstairs last night. This is a 15-year-old on a men's retreat. He came downstairs after he'd been upstairs for a while, and the first thing he said was, "Man, I miss the retreat." And then, because they're probably watching, he said, "Man, I miss Gideon and Izzy Edwards." I went on a hike up to the falls with, who did I go with? Oh, I went with Izzy and Gideon. And then I met some other men up there, and Aiden didn't want to go with me first. I blessed him in that. He wanted to stay and draw, do some art, and I was like, "Cool, man, take this free time as your own." And then after I got back from the hike, feeling my 49-year-old self, I sat down and I saw Preston Blaylock and Dedrick Briggs over here invite my son to go on a hike. And I know my son well enough to know that hiking is not his favorite way to spend some time. But I thought, maybe because those two guys are asking him, maybe he'll go along. And I want to tell you, men, that was one of the highlights of his time, is getting to know you men, getting to be around you men. Because I want other godly men in my son's life, in my daughter's life. I want them there because we're not called to do it on our own. And I have godly men in this church who love my children, love my family, and I saw a very distinct expression of it in the way you love my son. And that says a lot about you men. One of my favorite takeaways personally of the weekend, what happened at breakfast yesterday morning, and I'm getting ready to call out a name, and I didn't ask you if I could say this, but please forgive me. I'm speaking by grace right now. I was standing at breakfast yesterday morning, which was also awesome. I mean, biscuits and gravy. Don't get much better than that. That wasn't the highlight. But I was standing there, and it touched my heart. And this is not to criticize anybody. It's not to point out people who didn't do this, but it's to highlight the heart of a man that really touched me. And it's what I want to see in the body of Christ, because the scripture calls us to this. Paul told Titus, he said, "Older men teach the younger men." That's important. Older men teach the younger men. Older women teach the younger women. We have allowed the world to so divide us and to think we have to section everybody off by generation. And we have to put the kids over here all the time. We have to put the youth over here all the time. And then we need to get somebody closer to their age that's really cool, who doesn't know much more than them. But we put them in there with them. And we think, "Oh, good, our kids are being discipled." And then we put the young families with kids all together. And you don't mix with anybody else. And then we get the singles group. And then we get the senior citizens. And we do some trips with them. And we act like they're checked out. And we may take them to tour some museum or something. Seriously, this is what the church does in America. And it's failing. It's failing because the biblical prescription is, older men, take your wisdom, take the things, the hard-earned truth that you are walking in, as Dempsey said, purchased on the wheels of living. He didn't say that exact quote, but that's how I see it. That paid for truth, as one of my mentors used to call it. And give it to younger men. Give it to them. And you think, "I don't have anything. Look how, I don't have anything to give them." Yeah, man. You got more than you know to give them. And we've created a culture where the youth think, ah, man, look at those old folks. Why are they taking up space? And we've done that in the church. We have done that in the church, in the evangelical church. We've created a culture where we've imbibed the world, and we've thought we need to create these little subcultures, and that's actually going to produce disciples. And I'm telling you, we're seeing right now it doesn't. We're losing our younger generations at light speed in America to the world. 80 to 85% of young people, when they leave, and this is 80 to 85% of young people who are active. It's not just the total population. 80 to 85% of young people who have been active in an evangelical church, when they leave that church and they go off into the workforce or they go to college, 80 to 85% of them who have been active in a youth group leave the faith. Is that success? Is that what we want? No. So let's quit doing, who is it, Einstein that said that, was it like insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, hoping to get different results? So I'm going to go back to what I saw at breakfast yesterday morning. That is one of the answers to this. I saw Dan Rhodes carrying his food tray, and to his left, you didn't know I was watching you, Dan, to his left were a group of, should I say, seasoned saints, and to his right were two teenagers and another young man. Dan Rhodes went to the youth table and sat down. And I turned, I think maybe it was Jordan I was standing there with, and I said, look at that. Look at that. That's the answer. That's the answer. Older men, you have much to give. And younger men, you have much to receive. Biblical prescription. Older men, teach the younger men. Older women, teach the younger women. Don't check out on us, older men. Don't retire from the faith. Don't check out on us, older women. You have much to give. And younger women, you have much to receive of wisdom. We talked about mentoring on the retreat. And that goes for all of us. We can all, if any of us have been in the faith for a period of time and we've grown and God is transforming our life, each one of us at some level can look around to somebody that needs us and mentor them and guide them in the faith and even just be present. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a professional theologian. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You just have to be breathing and caring. You got much to give. Teenagers can do this with our children. I'm blessed oftentimes. I see some of our kids following Aiden around like the Pied Piper. That's mentoring. And you know what also happens when you bring a mentoree into your life? It also calls you up in your faith. Have you ever experienced that, any of you all that have mentored people? When you know somebody's watching and you know that you're having to say to somebody, not just, hey, here's some great advice that I don't really live by, but I'd like you to follow it. That's not mentoring. But when we pour our lives into others in the body of Christ, then that calls our faith up like, whoa, okay, now I've got a young woman or I've got a young man watching me. And I'd better be able to say like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. And I would say not only have we missed out on that biblical prescription of older men teach the younger men, older women teach the younger women, not only have we missed out on the blessing of the younger generations and the grounding in the community of faith in our young folks, we've also missed out on a revitalizing of our faith as we get older if we're not pouring in to those coming up behind us. See, here's the kicker. Obeying the things of Scripture actually brings life. You know why? Because the God who breathed out this Scripture is the author of life, and He knows what brings life. And when we ignore the very simple, even seemingly mundane prescriptions of Scripture for how to do life together, we actually miss life. We miss life. And I really believe that this that I'm sharing with you today, and this what we saw modeled on the men's retreat, and by the way, Elizabeth already had one woman say, hey, we women need to do that. So there we go. We want you to, ladies, and we're going to be looking at, you know, down the road starting up some marriage retreats, and we're not going to do the, you know, hey, never mind, I'm getting into, what I was going to say is not going to get into that little, hey, we're going to have the, you know, right-handed people who are 23 to 42 type retreats. We're gonna blend the generations, and you older couples are going to pour into and be revitalized by pouring into the younger couples and you newlyweds, soon to be newlyweds, 6 days from now, over there in the cheap seats. This is actually one way that we are called not to allow ourselves to be conformed to the world, but by the renewing of our minds, we prove what God's will is. We need kingdom outposts of people who are living out biblical culture and grounding one another in the faith so deep that we can stand what's coming in our very culture as men and women, boys and girls, dedicated to Jesus, all in for life. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, let's do it. Worship team, actually, musicians and singers, come and join the rest of the worship team, and let's worship God together with music. But I love you all. I missed you all tremendously last week. Preaching into a video camera just don't cut it. But I want to encourage you, if anything jumped out at you that I said today, whatever gender you are, whether you're a man or a woman, and you're hungering for somebody to speak into your life, or you're feeling that call as somebody who's a little bit more mature in your faith, I've actually mentored men older than me. It doesn't have to be by age. Sometimes it's just somebody who's more spiritually mature, even mentoring somebody who's new in the faith that's older than them. And I'm mentoring one young man who is on the retreat by Zoom, Gideon Edwards. I'm mentoring him on a weekly basis. And you know what? He mentors me in some ways. Those of you who were on the retreat with us, you can pretty much see why I would say that. What a godly 19-year-old young man. Actually, he's 20 today. Today's Gideon's birthday. So you men, you can text him or something who met him. Tomorrow's my daughter's birthday. She's 20 tomorrow. Yep, she's excited about that. All right. I love y'all, but I'm just saying, if you're feeling that hunger and that thirst, you're feeling a little bit of a tweak by the Holy Spirit and a call to mentor, talk to me. Talk to some of our men's ministry team. Let's get this going. If you're a younger man or you're a younger woman and you're hungry for somebody to walk alongside you and speak into your life, let's talk. And let's. If you don't know some women in this church well enough to know who to seek out, I, my wife, Elizabeth, some of us can point you in the right direction. So let's do this. Let's grow deep. Let's grow together for the glory of Jesus' name and for the steadfastness of our faith in the gospel. Let's worship God.